Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. If you have looked on any bestseller list this year, you've probably seen books like Becoming by Michelle Obama and Fear by Bob Woodward topping the charts. But there were so many great books this year that didn't reach the top 10. So today on Radio Boston, we're going to talk about the best books of 2018, some you know and some you might not. Here to talk about the year in books is Kate Tuttle, the Boston Globe book columnist and president of the National Book Critics Circle. Kate, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Also with us is Rachel Cass, head buyer for Harvard Bookstore in Cambridge. Hi, Rachel, and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, listeners, we also want to hear from you. What was your favorite book this year? What comforted you? What made you laugh or made you think? What are you telling your friends that they must read? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. All right, now I'm going to be really hard on the two of you. Kate, I'm going to you first.
Okay.
At most, two. What were your top two books of the year, the ones everyone should read?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that is really challenging. But I'll say one thing I noticed this year that was really strong were biographies. And I would say my two favorite biographies this year were Ninth Street Women, a book by the author Mary Gabriel, which is a group biography of painters, all women, abstract expressionists in the 1950s. It's just a stunning, beautiful, immersive, big biography.
Mm-hmm.
And then another book that's a totally different kind of biography is 99 Glimpses of Princess Margaret by Craig Brown. And that's a kind of a fractured biography told in small bits about the fascinating character of Princess Margaret. And it is gossipy and fun, but also beautifully written. And I think it would delight anybody.
Excellent. Thank you. Rachel, I got to make you go through the same thing.
Sure.
So what one to two did you love?
Sure. One of my favorite novels of the year was A Place for Us by Fatima Farheen Mirza. It's a debut novel, very young novelist, sort of a very quiet family novel about an immigrant family. It's an Indian Muslim family and sort of the cultural and religious and traditional divide between generations. Very quiet novel, but really, really beautifully written. Very interior. I really loved that one. And a second one that I loved was The Female Persuasion by Meg Wolitzer. Mm. I love her novels. She's just a really wonderful writer. And her new book is about sort of a young woman coming up in the women's rights movement. She's following her idol. She begins to work for a woman that she really, really admires in her organization and sort of where her career goes from there and her understanding of her role within business and within the women's movement is really, really a good deep dive.
So those are four fantastic books that our listeners can dive into. Kate, you talked about biographies as an area that was really strong this year. What wider trends in books did you notice this year? In addition to biographies, were there categories that particularly stood out?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great year for essays. And I know people don't usually flock to the bookstore looking for essays, but I'm here to tell you that the essay isn't just something that somebody writes for school. And really, reading a good essay can be an exercise in following a writer's curiosity, and they can really spark a reader's curiosity. So I'm thinking in particular some of the great essays collections this year. Zadie Smith, who's a wonderful critic and novelist, has a collection called Feel Free. And then there were two other collections by women that I thought were just stunning. The Reckonings by Lacey Johnson and Alice Boland's Dead Girls, both of which are essay collections that deal with feminism, that deal with justice, that deal with violence. But they're artful and impactful and never boring.
So that's really interesting. You know, we've got this theme that I'm hearing from both of you, both in your favorite books and in what Kate was just talking about women, the focus on female lives, on female voices. Power in the publishing world has long tilted towards men. But with the success of these memoirs, like we talked, you know, Michelle Obama's, with some of these other great books coming out, is the power balance shifting?
I think women's voices are really coming to the forefront a little bit more. It's really been nice to see a little bit more balance, gender balance in publishing this year. I think there's still a lot of work to do, but a lot of the best fiction, I think, this year was written by women. I'm thinking of Circe by Madeline Miller. I believe it's her second novel, and it's a feminist retelling of the Circe myth, which is just really, really an excellent book. And it comes on the heels of Emily Wilson translated the Odyssey last year. It was the first translation of the Odyssey by a woman, and those two books pair really well together. So it's sort of taking a feminist look at these stories that are really, truly ancient. Other books, The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay, has been showing up on a lot of sort of best of the year lists. She's written some novels and short stories before, but I think this is really her breakout book, set largely in Chicago during the AIDS epidemic of the 80s. And that's another really, really excellent one. So a lot of the really excellent fiction that came out this year, I think, was by women.
All right. So Kate, Rachel just talked about some books with strong feminist themes. One of the biographies that you listed talked about women artists in the early 20th century. That really struck me. Yesterday on the show, we looked at the year in music, and I spoke with the Boston Globe Associate editor and columnist Renee Graham. And she had brought forward a classical pianist named Samantha Agé and her new album, For Women, Music for Solo Piano. Hmm. She talked about how Agé found great women before her as she was searching for her own sound. I want to listen to a clip of that real quick.
You know, she studied the masters, of course, but she wasn't hearing about any women. And then as she got more and more into the music, she started to hear about women like Florence Price, like Margaret Bonds. And she wondered, like, why don't I know who these women composers are?
So more generally, Renee talked about women's voices and perspectives in music. She talked about artist Janelle Monáe, people who are taking inspiration and turning a corner for other female artists. There was this theme that when women write the music, we learn more about the women who came before them, women who previously had been in the shadows. I wonder if you think that's extending to books, too.
I think so. I mean, publishing is still a pretty male field, pretty much dominated by white men. But I think it's becoming increasingly diverse, both gender and race-wise. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important to remember that the people who buy the most books in this country are women. And so as women get to read biographies of women who might not have been treated to book-length biographies in the past, I think it really inspires us, both as readers and also just in our own lives to maybe make or create in whatever our field is. I mean, you don't have to be a painter to appreciate reading about painters who were often in the shadow of men and how they were able to craft their own lives.
Now, I'm hoping to come back to the business of publishing for a minute before we wrap up, but we have a caller on the line, Eric from Mansfield, who wanted to tell us about the Red Mars trilogy, which was, you know, made Eric's favorites list. So, Eric, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me on.
Hi, Eric. Tell us about your fave.
Yeah, so I read the Red Mars trilogy about by Stanley Robinson. I'm a big science fiction fan, and it was my favorite trilogy since I read Dune back in high school.
Wow.
I think he wrote it back in the 90s, but it deals with a civilization being started on Mars and then terraforming Mars, but he gets so much more into it than the science of rocketry, or he gets into the biomedical field and the social economic field, and he has people from all different cultures coming up to Mars and creating a congress and figuring out how they're going to deal with all these new technologies and AIs and resources and you know, it goes really into it.
Yeah, Eric, listen, thanks so much for your call. I really appreciate it, because what Eric is talking about is a lot of research, a lot of robust content. You know, it's a science fiction trilogy with a lot behind it. It's really encouraging to hear something like that about books, Rachel.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't read that trilogy, but science fiction and fantasy both are really great ways to sort of explore some of the issues that are happening in our own world in a different context and sort of think them through. And that can go with anything from science to technology to societal issues. There's a lot of great science fiction being written now, too. The Broken Earth trilogy, I think the last book came out this year by N.K. Jemisin. All three books won the Hugo Award. And she's really writing a lot about our current societal issues, but she's writing it in a science fiction genre. So that can be a really powerful way of looking at the world, I think.
Excellent. Now, Kate, we've got just about a minute left, and the one thing I don't want to miss is it seems like the data is telling us that fiction's on the down and nonfiction's on the up. Is that true, and what do you think is going on there?
Well, so I don't really follow the data, and I don't know. I don't want to proclaim to be an expert in that. I will say, though, that nonfiction has a way of connecting with readers, I think, at a time when real life is it's difficult and it needs making sense of. Fiction is a wonderful escape, but nonfiction is a wonderful life raft, and we might need that right now.
All right, Kate, so what's the next book on your list?
Right now I'm reading a memoir by a woman named Stephanie Land called Made, and it's about being a working class woman in America.
Great. And Rachel, how about you?
I'm reading Friday Black, which is a collection of short stories by Nana Kwame Adjei-Brenya, which is very dark and very excellent.
All right. Well, that's Kate Tuttle, Boston Globe book columnist and president of the National Books Critics Circle. Kate, thanks so much for being on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
And Rachel Cass, head buyer for Harvard Bookstore. Rachel, thanks so much for being here.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.